Blog Talk Radio.
Ministry. We like to ask you as we are getting started, please make sure that you mute your mic. We can hear background. Please mute your mic. Okay, we have someone in the background with your microphone. Please mute it. Thank you. Okay, we are New Beginnings Ministry, and we thank you for tuning in this evening. We'd like to inform you that we have an interactive Bible study. What is that? That means an opportunity of calling in and being able to participate with the discussion. Amen. This evening we have back with us Pastor Dawn Nixon, who is a regular speaker, and she's been out, and we have truly missed the word from her. And so we're anxious to hear what God has placed on our heart and how she is going to feed us through the word this evening. As we move forward, we'd like to inform you that those who are listening by internet, if you would like to call in, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, you can be a participant in the discussion once Pastor Nixon opens up the lines for you to speak. Amen. So that's why I ask you while you're listening. I try to keep all of the mics open so that when you are getting ready to say something, you don't have to hit number one and we have to kick, you know, put you in. It becomes time consuming, and we just like, you know, for everything to be instantaneous. So I usually open up all the mics so your mics are open. We can hear everything in the background, and we do appreciate your obedience by keeping your phone muted until you get ready to share something. Amen. We also like to let you know that we're here every Wednesday. For those of you who are listening for the first time, we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Amen. So we invite you to participate, to call in, and even share this message or any other message with a friend. Isn't that what we are about? Sharing the Word of God. Amen. We become a blessing to others, and we do thank you for tuning in. We thank you for sharing the messages with others. We do thank you. As we move on, we're going to go on over into New York. We're going to move on over into New York, and I'm going to get out of the way and allow Pastor Nixon open up the mics for her so she can move forward and we can be blessed by the Word of God. Her topic, it is time to wake up. Amen. And when I heard that, when I saw that message, I mean, it was just sent chills through me, because there's a time today that we need to wake up is right now. So I'm anxious to hear what God has placed on our heart. Pastor Nixon, are you there?
Yes, I am. Bless you, Elder Clay. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Very good, very good. You sound well.
Okay, I'm still working with my vocals, so I'm not going to try to get too excited, but that's easier said than done. I'm glad to be back on with you all today. I hope and pray that you are sharing this with someone that would hear something from the Lord. And I hope that you will interact with this Bible study today to give my voice, first of all, a little bit of rest. We've been going quite a bit for this month, and God has been very kind to us. And so the doors have been opening, and so I want to kind of tap into this word on today, because I really, really would like to get the feedback from the people who are on this line concerning us waking up. And so I want to first enter into prayer, and we're going to go into 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. I want to read from verses 1 through, I believe, about 9. And if the Lord says so, we may go even further. But there, this particular chapter shows me so much of what is taking place on in our day, in our society. Mm-hmm. And we want to kind of get awakened to what things are happening that God has already forewarned us of some things. So our Father and our God, we thank you tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to glean in your word. I pray today that you will say something that will be life-changing for us. We pray, oh God, that you would take over on tonight, that we will just hear from you, that our ears will be close to to your lips, and that your voice will speak to us, and so that we will know that we have heard from God on tonight. I pray that you will just enter the hearts of men to say, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' mighty name we pray. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, starting at verse 1. The word of the Lord. I'm going to be reading out of the Passion Translation. So if you do have a device on your phone, often I ask people to get the Gateway Bible so that you are able to get different versions of the Bible. And there are other Bibles as well. It just makes it a little bit more clear for us to understand without some of the these and the thuses. So the word of the Lord says in verse 1 of 2 Timothy 3, but you need to be aware that the final days, the culture of society, will become extremely fierce and difficult for the people of God. People will be self-centered lovers of themselves and obsessed with money. They will boast for great things as they strut around in their arrogant pride and mock all that is right. They will ignore their own family, and they will be ungrateful and ungodly. I believe I shared this particular text recently with you before, but when we, I'm looking, and I'm just going to go through some things here, and I want to expound on some things, what it talks about, that in the final days, the culture of our society will become extremely fierce and difficult for people of God, and I find that we are in that day. If this scripture does not show us or has showed us where we are today, it can't be any more visible to me than what I'm reading is the same thing I'm seeing. I'm going to say that again. What I'm reading here is the same thing. And, yes, and y'all can let me know if it's just me, but what I'm reading is what I'm seeing in our society today. And so I look at the selfie, self-centered generation that we are living in. We're so in love with us that it amazes me. You know, there was a time where people had, they were very depressed, and they had, they were dealing with so many things where they didn't care about themselves, and they're going through so many things. And now we have so many people who are so in love with themselves that they constantly are trying to put themselves in the forefront, because we have put ourselves in a place in today's society that we always want the limelight, because they make it look like it's so good. It makes it seem as if everything is about us, about us, about us. And this scripture is so true. We have been self-centered with our social media and different things. And I believe the reason why we have become, and I say we, because some of us have played a part of it in some things and some not. And sometimes you got to be ever so careful. That's why the Bible says beware. Be aware that in the final days, these things are going to happen. And so if we're not careful, these same things that we see, we can become. I'm going to say that again. The same things that we see, if we're not careful, we can become. And so you can make yourself look like anybody you want to look like now and then, and not go through surgery. You can go on social media and different apps and different things like that, and you can slim your nose and put makeup on, change your eye color, change the size of your eyes, and you can, I mean, there's so many things that you can do. And we are now in a place where we are self-centered, because we're not really centered at all, because where we are is in a society that claims we are living in reality, but the truth is we are living in a false reality, trying to make not only others believe, but make ourselves believe that we are something we're not. And so now we're no longer called to what God called us to be, but we have gone to a place where we have designed our own self. And because we've designed our own self to be a certain way or a certain thing, and I have no problem with beauty and I have no problem with different things, but I believe that you should be your you. There's nothing wrong with enhancing your beauty. There's nothing wrong with enhancing certain things that you like about yourself, but we've got to understand that this is no more than a house of clay. And even though it's a house of clay and we make it beautiful, it is not who we are. Who we are dwells within. Dwells within that house. And all of that can still show who you really are, shows from the inside out. And, you know, I said, Lord, I'm looking around, and I was sitting and I was watching on last night, could not sleep last night, didn't get to sleep till maybe about 5 this morning. I had to wake up about, I was supposed to be up at 7:30, but got up about a little after 8. And so when I got up, And I was when I was watching TV last night, I believe it was D.L. Hughley has a show, and he was sharing with different ones how people, we have to get up and we have to do something. We have to get up and we have to say something, you know, and to the point where he said that there are many people who are just letting this go by, nobody saying anything. But I really believe there are many who are saying things, but when they have one voice. It's not until we come together as a people, and I don't mean just a type of people. I'm talking about all different cultures and different things. We can't stand alone, but we have to stand together because it is very true, because we have become, first of all, obsessed with ourselves. We've been self-centered. And I'm talking about our culture. And I think I did share this on the last time I spoke with you. I shared the same particular scripture, and the Lord led me back to it. And then it also talks about being obsessed with money. Listen, the Bible lets us know that the love of money is the root of all evil. But the Bible also lets us know that money answereth all things. It is not so much the money. Is how the money is handled. And when we look at our society, those who have money try to make sure they keep what they have, and they will do what they have to do to keep their money, even if it means that they have to do without or get rid of someone else to keep what they have, because it has not become not only a love, but it has become an obsession. And when we get to an understanding that there are some things, yes, money answers a lot of things, and the Bible says it answers all things, but the one thing money cannot do is cure sickness. Money can give you friends for a period of time. I shared with them our church on Sunday. I dealt with the prodigal son. And when I dealt with the prodigal son, the money that he had answered what he needed for the period of time, but when his money was gone, nobody was asking any more questions, and no more answers were given. And so, you know, you've got to realize that when your money runs out, people run out, you know. And so we cannot get so obsessed. And the reason why people get so obsessed with money is because it is what draws people. If you have money, people will follow you. They don't even have to like you. They just follow the trail of money. And so the young man had to learn that after a while he bought his friends, and I shared with them, you know, as long as he bought them, they were under contract and were willing to do whatever he wanted them to do as long as he kept on buying. But when he no longer had anything left, those people who called themselves their friends. So let me help this right here, because it took me right to our social media. Our social media says, okay, we have Facebook, and the people on our Facebook are labeled as our friends. I have people on my Facebook I've never met in my life. I don't know who they are. If they walked past me, I probably wouldn't know who they were. Some things we do because we're trying to get a word out so that people would know about God. So it has its benefit, and then it has its downfall, because social media can help us bring forth the word of the Lord to those who may have never heard it, those who we may never see, and those who are on our page that we consider, or the page calls them friends. But truthfully, there are those where the social media can either help you or it can hurt you. And if you're not careful, it's very important as children of God that we be aware. If we do not make sure that we don't fall into some of the things that we see, we will become in a place where social media doesn't help us but hurts us. And so here in the text, it talks about us being self-centered, obsessed with money. It talks about how we are boastful of ourselves and how we strut around. There are many people who strut around. And again, I say I'm not talking about necessarily anybody on this line, but I want us to also be aware that if we are not careful, this could be us. And so I'm looking at the text, and the text talks about how we have been so many people who have become arrogant, prideful, and mock all that is right. Now, it's amazing to me, Elder Clay, because when I look at things nowadays, I'm so confused, because now what has happened is society has made wrong right and right wrong. So I said, when did this shift take place? When did we shift and call things that we have been known wrong all our lives? Know that the things that we look at and we know have been wrong, now we say it's okay. And not only that, but we have commercials about it. It's okay to do this. It's all right for us. And more, if you pay attention, this is where I want you to awaken, people of God, if you're not careful. Because in our, even on our television, there are certain things that they are allowing that would have never been allowed in the time that I grew up. They're allowed to say curse words and different things, and that's in the middle of the day. I remember growing up where they had maybe Lucille Ball and different things, and if they even had a scene in the bedroom, you never saw them in the same bed. They were always in a twin bed. They didn't want to give any kind of information out or make it look any kind of way where it would seem as if it would shift our society. And so now we're looking at it in a situation where anything goes, everything goes. And because of that, we have mocked, as the Bible says, we have mocked, we have made things that seem as if they are right. We are as if it is a wrong thing to do. And, you know, now we don't have discipline in our families. There's no discipline. We can't discipline our children without having precautions of worried about what this going to happen, that happens, and different things like that, then taking our kids away or taking us away. And so now our society has been run by what the enemy has chose to place. Now, I've got to say this because this is nothing that was not expected, because we're reading it in 2 Timothy and 3. This is something that we have already been forewarned about. Here Timothy is letting us know to beware of these things. We have now ignored our own family. We don't, you know, before family used to be everything. You know, if you couldn't count on anybody, you could count on family. And not only that, I realized when I was growing up, my first friends, my first best friends, before there was Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all those different things, the first friend I ever had was my siblings. They were my first best friends. I learned how to interact and learned how to be a friend by having my siblings around, because they're the ones that I would interact with every day. As we were growing up, we learned how to be friends. My mother taught us how to be friends. And not only that, she made sure, my father made sure, that we did not keep anger amongst ourselves, to the point that when we would argue and fight amongst one another, My mother would let us tell us in the heat of argument to love on one another, hug them. And so it helped us in our today as we are older. When we get into a thing of disagreement, we learn not to hold grudges, but say, okay, I'm sorry, I was wrong in this area. And sometimes we've got to learn to be the bigger person because we're not always right. And so when you get to the point where you're so self-centered that we're so that nobody is right but us, there is a problem. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to verse 3. Bible says they will become addicted to hateful and malicious slander. Now, I got to stop that right there because I have seen so many things take place on social media with so many different people who have slandered the name of so many people, not only in Christendom, but in the secular world. I was listening to something the other day where I heard somebody say that people were literally making up stories, cutting and pasting comments and messages off of social media pages and or making those things up and presenting it to people to blackmail them, altering pictures and different things to blackmail the people, not just in society as far as the secular world, but even in the church world. And because there are so many leaders who don't want to deal with the backlash of stuff that they did not do. We're not even talking about the stuff that they did, but stuff that they did not do. There is a wolf, there is a demonic spirit that is out there that will cause people, because this is also due to the love of money, the obsession of money. People don't want to get up and work. They want to get up when they want to get up. They want to lay down when they want to lay down, and they have no answering to anybody. And what they will do is they will put it out there that you did something that you did not do and blackmail you and say, you have to give me this amount of money. Now, I'm telling you now, this is happening in our society today. This is happening in our society today, and it's happening in the church. And so we have to be careful. We have to be careful what we say, what we put on our social media page, what we say to one another. You got to even be careful what you say on the telephone, because you don't even know who's recording your conversation while you're on the phone. And so, you know, if we have an understanding that we can't always say, we're not always at liberty to say what we want to say or do what we want to do, we have to ever be so careful. I said to somebody the other day, with so much stuff going on, more and more people are afraid to go shop. Now, listen, look at this. We got people who are going into our places where our stores and different things, and their schools and different things, and they're shooting up and they're doing all these different things. It's out here. We see it, and we never know when it's going to happen. Some people are fearful for going into different stores because they don't know what's going to happen. And so look at how the enemy works, because the more people are afraid to go and walk outside of their homes, the more they're making it available for you just to go on website and get the stuff that you want, and it shows up the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And so what ends up happening is you've got people losing jobs. You got people who now can't work because now I don't need to go to the store. Matter of fact, I'm too afraid to go to the store. I'm too afraid to leave my house. And so now what I'll do is, I'll go on a website. I have Amazon. If I'm a Prime member, they can leave it at my door. I don't even have to open up the door. All I got to do is look on my device and on my phone and see that they dropped it off. You know. So this is a society in the world that we're coming into, but there is such a hatefulness that there is against God and God's people, and we have to see the signs. It is very clear. It is very clear because there is such a fight against the church, our churches are lacking. Our churches, many people are leaving the church because there is such a malicious attack on the church. But I am telling you on today, I'm trying not to get excited, but I'm telling you on today, we have to wake up. And when I say wake up, somebody said, well, Pastor, what do we do? What do we do? Yes, we can pray. Yes, we can do those different things. But we're going to have to go back out there in the highways and hedges and let them know that they are being taught false doctrines. They are being taught false things. They're not, what they're seeing is not what it really is. And so what the enemy is trying to give you is a false reality of what life really isn't. And so now I'm playing into the hands that we don't need God because I'm better than God. We get this, and I share with the people that God had dropped in my spirit to write this book, the Lucifer Syndrome, because now we're in the same mindset that we think we're greater than God. And when we get to a place when we're greater than God, then we are in trouble because there's no way that you can be greater than your creator. The Creator knows everything about you. He knows everything that about you before you even know, before your existence, before you ever step foot on the planet. God already knew and predestined your steps of what would happen if you were going to comply with the things of God. And I share this. I mean, the Lord has dropped this thing in my spirit so heavily concerning. In Psalms, it talks about how a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. And I'm going to say this until my people are tired of me hearing it, because when we get to the place when we do good, God wants us to be good. And the reason why he wants us to be good, because when we're good, he says, I've already preordered your steps. And so before you even get to 2020, God says, when you are a good man, and when he's talking about good man, he's talking about male and female. We are this mankind. We are the species of mankind, and in mankind there is male and female. So when he's talking about us being good and our steps being ordered because of the good that we do, he didn't say be perfect. He said be good. Because we have to understand, even though we do try to do what is right, there are some things that we're going to mess up. There's some things that are going to happen in our lives, but we don't always do the right thing, but it does not mean we're not a good person. And when you are a good person, what God does is already ordained your steps. Now, if my steps are already ordained by God, that means my life is in the hand of God. And if my life is in the hand of God, then that means that I don't have to fear, I don't have to worry about what I see, but I do have to beware of what I see. And the reason why I say I have to beware is because I don't want to become, again, what I see. Not so much that things won't happen, but I don't want to be what I see. Okay, the Bible says, verse 3, they will become addicted to the hateful and malicious slander, slaves to their desire. They will be ferocious, belligerent, haters of what is good and right. See, with brutal treachery, they will act without restraint. They would be bigots and wrapped in clouds of their own conceit. They will find their delight in the pleasures of the world, my God, more than the pleasures of the loving God. This is ever so true and ever so prevalent in our life today. I see so many people who are wrapped in the clouds of their conceit. Now let me share this, because when we have our phones, we store everything in the cloud. Am I right? If you don't want to lose certain things, you put it in the cloud. All of our everything that we have, our pictures, everything that is about us, we put it in the cloud and we store it in the cloud. We are in a cloud of deceit. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in a place where we are so far removed from God that we won't know how to get back. Now, the Bible also talks about here in this verse, it says that they delight in the pleasures of the world. The Bible lets us know, if we just do what the Word says, we will be all right. It says that we will become pleasures, more of the world than the pleasures of love and God. And the Bible lets us know that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And just because I'm in the world does not mean that I have to take on the pleasures of the world. Now, please understand, there's some things that are in the world that are pleasures that are not worldly. Now, let's not make the mistake of making a mistake of saying, okay, well, we can't do anything. There's nothing we can do in the world. No, the Lord says, I wish above all things that you will prosper, the word of the Lord says, and be in good health, even as your soul shall prosper. It's not that God doesn't want us, but he wants us to understand that I've given you this earth and these earthen vessels, because now, even though we've fallen, we have to understand, I still want you to enjoy where you are, but keep yourself intact. Keep yourself nigh. Draw yourself nigh to God, and he will draw himself nigh to you. Verse 5 says, they may pretend to have the respect, my God, for God. And this is the truth. We have so many people who act like they have a respect for God. They come in around folk because they don't want people to see the wolf that's within them. And so they come around with sheep's clothing, and then they turn around and act like or pretend they have a respect for God because they want you to have this show this persona that, okay, I'm doing good. Well, the truth of the matter is, if I catch you, While you're not looking, will you still be that same person that you show before me? All right? So we've got to be understanding of what God is saying to us and the warning. Heed the warning of God. All right. Bible says that stay away from people like these. I'm going to read that, the beginning part of 5 again. They may pretend to have a respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Stay away from people like these. This is a true warning. Somebody said, well, what do we do in a society like this? Here it is right here. Stay away from them. And the reason why, somebody said, well, aren't we supposed to go and draw folk to Christ? Yes, people who want him. But people who don't want God, they're not going to change their minds. All you can do is pray for them. And you don't want to be around pretenders, because one thing you will understand is that people who pretend will eventually show who they really are. And what they end up doing is they begin to drop seeds of discord. They will drop seeds of who they are in your life. That's why you have to be careful. The Bible says stay away from them. The reason why we have to stay away from them, because we become a product of our environment. In other words, the more I hang around people, if I'm not the stronger vessel, if I can't pull you to Christ, and you're in that place where you're just one of those who are trying to cause slander and wickedness and all those, that is your mission in life, please know that there are people who are being used by the devil. I didn't say they were the devil. I said they are being used by the devil to confront the people of God, because the enemy is on the mission. He's on the mission because he knows his time is soon going to be over. And when his time is over, he wants to take as many of God's people with him. And so that's right. Why if we don't allow ourselves to get caught up with stuff, let me tell you something. You know the difference between right and wrong. A child knows the difference between right and wrong. But yet and still we want to overlook it because we want to be politically correct. We don't want to offend nobody, but it's all right for everybody to offend God's people. And I'm at a place now where I will not allow you to offend me. I'm not here to offend anybody else. But what you're not going to do is still offend me, because I'm a child of God. Now, there's a lot of things that I let people get away with. But there's certain things you're just not going to get away with me without saying something. You don't get to mess with my mama. my child, my grandchildren, and you definitely don't get to say nothing about my God, and I don't have no defense, and I don't say anything. No, I'm going to say something. He is my God. Not that God has to be, not that God needs us to defend him, but it's something about, maybe it's me, but and I'm going to open up the lines in a minute, but if maybe it's just me. I get so godly insulted by people who say things against my God.
Mm-hmm.
I get godly offended. And we want to make sure that certain things you can't say on TV because you don't want to hurt a certain set of people, a certain type of people, but they will just completely tear up everything of our beliefs and how we feel, and that's okay. And we need to let people know it's not okay. It's not okay, because if we can come together like everybody else comes together, I don't want to offend nobody. I want to show you how good God is and how much of a loving God he is and how much of a delivering God he is, because we've got to understand that people don't believe in the power of God anymore. They don't think that the power of God can sustain us. And it's not that God does not have power. It is because we have allowed sin. We have allowed ourselves to accommodate sin. And if we allow ourselves to accommodate sin, it then weakens the power within us. Not weakens the power of God. It weakens the power within us, because now we have accepted what God does not allow.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Okay. So mm-hmm. I'm going to open up the line. I know I have two more verses, but I want to open up the lines to those. I want to give you enough time to share with me what you're seeing in our society. Is it just me, or what we're reading tonight? Is that what we're seeing today? Anybody want to say anything?
Amen. This is Pastor Miles. How you doing, Sister Preach?
God bless you, sir.
Yeah, I've been missing you. I'm glad you're back on. God bless.
Bless you.
I wanted to touch base on something that I had done, have in my notes for many years. You touched on right being wrong and wrong being right. You put the question up, how did we get here?
Right.
I don't know exactly how we got here, but I believe I have the formula in which they present it.
Okay.
And the formula, I think, in which they present it is when they come with this, let's bring awareness to. Let's bring awareness to this. Okay, let's open up our awareness. Let's open up our awareness. And then when we open up our awareness, let's talk about it. Let's plant that seed. Let's get it out there. How many times have you heard a song? You didn't like it, but the radio played it so much, you start to get an ear for it. Okay, so I believe that the first thing they do is they say, let's bring awareness to it. Now, since we got an awareness to it and we got a little tingle in our ear, there's let's recognize that it's here. We can't ignore it, so let's recognize that it's here. Okay, so now we got awareness and we're recognizing that it's here. Now they say, well, you know what we need to do? Let's let you know, let's have a better understanding of it. Since it's already here, let's let you have a better understanding. You may not fully understand that's why you don't necessarily like it or agree. And then now, since we brought awareness to it, since we know that it's here and it's not going anywhere, we might as well go on and accept it.
There you go. There you go.
That's what I believe the formula in which they do. And I believe that, and I realized that formula when they want to make same-sex marriage legal.
Right.
But they didn't call it. Well, they didn't call it bringing awareness to it first. They call it, we coming out the closet.
Right. Right.
And the next thing I would like to say, then I'm going to shut my mouth. I used to be exactly like how you say you are. I used to go up when people say something about my God. Oh, yeah. I felt that I had to say something. When I was a young preacher, I felt that I had to defend God. And that God showed me. You don't have to defend me. I just called you to proclaim my gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took me to Matthew 7:6.
Mm-hmm.
Told me, don't catch your pearls before swine, lest they trample and give it back to you. And then also in the book of Proverbs, we're talking about don't answer a fool according to him, his conversation, lest you be like him. See, you already know the truth, and your light is already shining. You are already a lamp. Your wick has been changed. You're full of oil. They are saying that to get a rise out of you. I know that personally. It happened to me. So I just want to plant that in you, my sister. I love you. God bless, and keep on keeping on.
God bless you. That was so awesome, because that is so true, because whenever a seed has to be planted, they often consistently put it before you. That's why they got all these different commercials. That's why you see more commercials than you actually see the show. The show is basically maybe at least 15 minutes long, maybe less than that.
True.
By the time you finish looking at all the commercials, you may have already forgot the plot of the show you were watching. So, you know, that is the way, the advertisement of how they bring things and present it before us to the point, and that's exactly what has happened, because we've seen it in our commercials. We're seeing it in the songs we hear. It's, just subtle, just really subtly pushed in there. And so it's very true. That's how it's being presented, even to the point where the church has become relaxed. Relaxed in its acceptance of it. It does not mean, just because I don't accept certain things don't mean I don't love you. It means I don't accept what you do. And I'm not wrong for not accepting it. I don't agree, but I still love you. I'll still embrace you. I'll still acknowledge you. That's what love does. Love does not ignore. Mm-hmm. Love does not hate. Love does not pull down. But I'm going to show you with loving kindness. Will I draw you, and I'll bring you, and so that you can see God loves you, but can disagree with how He feels or disagree with what you're doing. Don't mean He don't love us. If He didn't love us, He wouldn't have sent His Son in the first place for the very thing that He hates. There's no greater love than that. You know, for Him to send His own Son, I say, okay, I don't agree, and I'm gonna show you that I love you so much that I'm willing to do what I have to do to pull you out of what you're in.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a very, very good point. Thank you so much for helping us with that. Anybody else have anything they want to say? I don't want to override anybody. Anybody else want to say anything? Bless you.
Yes. Good evening, Pastor Dawn. This is Sister Regina. Today, the word that you said forth was awesome, but today's scripture that I was reading in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And as that was going forth, as you was talking in Timothy, in 2 Timothy, as we go forth, as we intercede, as we pray, how do we come forth? And when you're talking about contingency of what we see and what we see diligently, but as we intercede and we intercede for our children of God to come forth, you see so much that is in the world. You pray that we come together and we stand as one in unity, that everyone comes together to recognize of these things that people see and think it's normal, but it's not. But how do you go forth to say, this is not of the world, but stand in unity and love through God, and keep that that humbleness inside of us, that our first fruits come forth, and to have the humbleness of peace, joy, and love. But when the love of money comes up, or the love that the popularity that goes for, or the convenience, that it's easy, where they don't recognize the goodness of God that comes forth to them each and every day. I know you said continue to pray for them, but then if you go out on the highways and the byways and you go forth, the diligence to go forth there and walk and speak to them, you have to address all their issues, even what they see, because in our society now, it's all visual. Everything is visual. So what's visual that comes forth them, they think it's true and don't know the knowledge or take the time to read in our Bible but they look at what's visual in front of them to give them the truth. And that is just a hard stigma, especially with our young children growing up, because they're so adapted to the social media, so adapted to the cell phones and the things that are in front of them, and to learn to the truth.
Well, the one thing is, a lot of stuff has to be taught at home, especially when we're dealing with our younger children. The only reason why children have what they have is because we give it to them. That's number one. Know this, that whatever happens is not catching God by surprise. Everything that is happening is supposed to happen, because if it's already spoken by God. And so because God spoke it, he's not going to go against what he said, because he let us know this is going to happen. So it doesn't matter. You can pray, you can do this, you can do that, but it's already been preordered. It's already been promised. It's already been said that this is what is going to happen, because man has chose man over God. Okay.
Over God.
So what do we do? What we do is we pray. Yes, we pray, and we try to win as many souls. All you can do is plant a seed. One thing you don't want to do is choke people with seed. You can't give them a cup of seed and try to get them to swallow it. No, you have one who will plant, and one will water, and God will give the increase. So we can only plant, because sometimes we can turn people off away from God because we're trying to give them too much before they can handle what it is that they need. They see it. They see it. It's just like those who are called, God's going to get his that are called. Why do I say that? Because when Saul, whose name is now Paul, was on the road to Damascus, he was a persecutor of the saints. He was the one who was causing havoc among the church folks. And God converted him. Now, some folk, God said, I'm going to come down there myself, and I'm going to, listen, I'm going to show you who's God. And please know, he's not coming to all of us have heard, as everyone has heard who God is or have heard about God. So the social media has a good point, because it's allowing, which is the word, to be spread abroad. It's going to, we're reaching people in countries we can't get to. I cannot physically get there, but I'm reaching people who are in other countries. I would not be able to do that without social media. So at the same time, we've got to be aware that what you've got to do is work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling, make sure that you don't become what you see. But at the same time, if you see somebody else who's out there, don't let them go astray. They're either going to receive it or they're going to reject it. You can't force them, because God never forces himself on us.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's how we gotta make sure. If I'm connected to God, we're in a season where we gotta stay with God. Because if you don't stay with God and you get caught out there with them wolves, they will eat you alive. Okay?
Amen.
So yes. That's all we can do is plant a seed. And it's amazing how somebody can come and plant a seed to somebody, they reject it. Somebody else will come and plant a seed to somebody else, they reject it. And then finally somebody else come, and then all of a sudden, wait a minute, God's trying to get my attention.
That's right.
And so God will use the vehicles that he needs to get to each and every one, but it's our choice. It is our choice. And nobody's going to say that I didn't know, because God is going to give man their choice to make their decision. Choose ye whom ye will serve. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, we can only do what we can do, but we can't force them. But especially when it's our family members, we want to make sure that we pray, God, please reveal to them what they don't see. Take the scales off their eyes so they can see you. That's what you pray. That's what you pray. Because all of this stuff, we can stand and go have picket lines and do all of these other stuff. You're wasting your breath, because God told us this was going to happen. Anybody else want to say something?
Yeah.
Hi. Okay. Hi, Pastor Dawn. This is Elder Sharon Jackson. I like what you said before, the steps of a good man. Ordered by the Lord,
that when we are walking and doing what we know we should, I all them things that you said tonight are part of the old us, the old
yes.
person, the unregenerated person. But the steps
okay.
of a good man
yes.
ordered by the Lord, they're predestined already. In order to walk
yes.
in the way, and you'll have eternal life.
My
God, God bless you, Pastor Dawn.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Amen. I want us to, we're coming to the date. I don't know. I don't know what age groups we have on the phone. But the older we get, the more aware and sometimes we get. I would like to believe. And sometimes it goes in a different direction. It depends who's in your life. But you want to make sure that you surround your children. Sometimes you're going to have to take the social media away from them because we didn't have
yes,
all those things.
Yes.
You know? And so it opens and it broadens their minds. And sometimes it takes them out to an area where their spirits are able to handle certain things. And so my grandchildren's generation, to them, it's already accepted because it's all they know. It's all they see. Mm-hmm. To us, it's foreign. To us, it's like, what in the world is going on? And we're like, Jesus is coming soon. And he is. But to our children, if we don't make them aware of what
yes,
we know,
yes, yes,
we're mm-hmm. going to be held accountable for
Hallelujah.
Not teaching our children, not
mm-hmm.
teaching those who are in our family. Listen, I can't force you, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you where it says in Scripture. And I said mm-hmm. this, I'm going to close. I'm going to give it over to you, other clips. My boss, he is of the Jewish faith, and he said to me, we were talking about the Bible and different things, and so he barely believes his own faith. He just goes whenever his wife makes him go to temple. And he said to me, he says, well, my son, he don't believe any of it. He believes all of it. The Bible, he don't believe in the Bible. He don't believe in anything. And I said to him, mm-hmm. I said, well, he said, he believes that the Bible is just written by a bunch of men who of their own opinions and different things like that. I said, well, your son went to school for 4 years. Am I correct? He said, yes. He said, I said to him, well, wasn't all the books, the textbooks that he read, were they not written by men? Were not the books that he read, but yet still he believes whatever he read in those books, and he uses those books to live out his life so that he is able to work in the field that he's working in, but it's only made by man's opinion. So if that's true, why will he believe the books that help him in life for his job and society, but won't believe the books that he mm-hmm. so-called is an opinion of man's mm-hmm. own belief? Isn't it, if I take it from his point of view, isn't it the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
He said, you got a point.
Mm-hmm.
You got
good
a point.
Point.
He could not say anything to me. And so we've got to share those. Drop those. That's just a nugget. I didn't keep continuing. I walked away. Let him marinate
that's
on
right.
that. Because now he's going to go say to his son, the next time he brings that up, well, all your textbooks got the same. They were written by men, but you believe everything that's in that textbook.
Mm-hmm.
You go by whatever they say, and you work according to what is written because you use it and believe it as facts. So do
mm-hmm.
I when I read my Bible. My Bible is
mm-hmm.
fact. It is
right.
an inspiration.
That's
you're
right.
always inspired by God. It's inspired by God. Yeah. And God will give the revelation
amen.
Of what's opinion of man and what's revelation of God.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to turn it over to you, Elder Clay. God bless you.
Oh, my goodness. All I can say is just some good stuff. That's all I can say. And that's what this is all about. This is all about knowledge. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. And we're talking
mm-hmm.
about,
no.
we're talking, these are things that's happened in each and every one of our families. So, if you didn't get fed tonight, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. One of the things that I want to mention is the ear gate and the eye gate. Because what we see, what the kids see and what they hear through social media, they are extremely connected. And you're going to find that their conversations are the same. I heard you say that your son saying about not believing in the Bible. I've heard that before, too, and had to talk to kids about it. They are extremely connected, and their language is going to be the same. So many of them are going to think alike. So that's why it's important to take the word and post it around the house. Even when they came out of the wilderness, posting it around the house so they see. You don't have to say the word, but just seeing it through the eye gate is enough. And that's what they're doing with social media. They're getting them with the ear gate, and they're beginning to start to believe what others don't even know what they're talking about. They're believing. Awesome. Sounds good. So all I can say is this was definitely a word. Pastor Mixon, all I can say is, you know, we definitely miss hearing you, and we're going to pray, continue to pray that God will restore you. All I can say is, you know, you sound like you was having a difficult time when you first started, but as soon as you got into the word, it changed. And that's how
Let's
God
pray
operates.
Now.
The Holy Spirit
Let's pray
over.
Now.
That Holy Spirit Let's took over. So I know it was nothing but God that was working through you tonight, and I do thank you. We thank you. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
We're going to close. We're going to close back next week. We are here from 7 to 8. We do invite you back. We thank you. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most.
Amen.
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 It was good tonight. God bless.
God bless, Pastor.
I face the dawn.